Our guest at this time is Pete Sepp. He is the president of the National Taxpayers Union, the largest grassroots taxpayer organization in the country. Here we are in December, more than a month after the end of the previous fiscal year, and we're still debating what the spending priorities ought to be for fiscal year 2016, which of course we're already in. We're hearing reports today that the Republican leadership in the House and Senate are looking for a brief extension at current spending rates while they work out a longer-term deal. And Pete, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Some folks may look at this and say, well, at least we're probably going to avoid a shutdown in the next 24 to 48 hours. Others say, why can't we get something done? That doesn't mean that we have to do this again in a couple of days. So what's going on here?
We've been down this road many times before with Congress, not only on budget issues, but tax extender issues as well. The key to the budget fight this time, of course, is that Congress, unwisely, in the opinion of my organization, decided to lift caps on discretionary spending that were enacted in 2011 and were working to drive down federal deficits. Well, members of Congress, for the second time in 4 years, decided they couldn't live under those caps, so they decided to raise them. Well, those increased spending caps can't take effect until we settle this whole current budget debate. So very short-term extensions of spending are being done under the old budgetary regime that members of Congress don't like. So this time, they have a built-in motivation to actually get the work done on the current fiscal year's budget bill.
I'm going to ask you about the tax extenders in just a moment. Some folks may be looking at this and thinking it's another example of kicking the can down the road, although there could be a longer-term omnibus bill passed here in the next few days. But do you get the sense from what you're seeing up on the Hill that there's a real commitment to bringing federal spending under control?
Unfortunately, we have yet to see the kind of commitment that's really going to keep the debt as well as annual deficits under some kind of control in the future. All we have to do is look at the long-term budget projections, which were made before Congress lifted the spending caps very recently, and see that just servicing our national debt within the next decade will run about $1 trillion a year. $1 trillion spent just on paying the interest on the entire federal debt. That is not fiscal responsibility, and Congress has compounded the problem by failing to keep even part of the federal budget, the so-called discretionary part, under control.
That's certainly one potential answer to this next question, but what do you see as the telltale signs of a genuine commitment?
A genuine commitment here, I think, would take a couple of forms. First, Congress would be reevaluating every single so-called discretionary, in other words, annually appropriated federal spending program, starting at zero rather than using some baseline that assumes spending continues with a little bit of an increase every single year. Congress needs to go and reset the needle entirely and say, we are going to assume that every single federal program does not deserve reauthorization unless we can prove it does. That is a smart approach to budgeting. And we need to do the same with entitlement programs, figuring out how to curb federal benefits in a way that is fair to recipients and fair to taxpayers. We've only begun to have that very, very small debate over the federal disability insurance program. And here again, that's going broke in the year 2016, next year, and Congress has yet to decide how they're going to address that, much less the Social Security retirement program or Medicare.
Are there any emerging ideas on that could be leading toward a consensus on those? Because obviously we've got ticking clocks going on both Medicare and Social Security.
I think we are seeing some progress on trying to attack improper payments, not necessarily the levels of benefits in these programs or means testing them or raising retirement ages, but rather just going after the way that benefits are being paid out to the wrong people or in the wrong amounts. There's bipartisan legislation from Senator Tom Carper and other Republican lawmakers joining him, a Democrat, in trying to address this issue. And I think that could be a hopeful start to having a serious discussion over other aspects of the entitlement programs.
You mentioned tax extenders a little while ago, and that's also likely to be a short-term extension here. What specifically is at the center of that?
There are roughly 50 expiring provisions, actually already expired, that either need to be renewed by the end of this year, or taxpayers who are filing their returns following the end of this year won't be able to take the deductions. They've already been expired. Congress needs to act to restore them before people start filing their returns. Otherwise, we're going to have a mess on our hands. Now, many of these extenders could go away, and most people would hardly ever notice them. We're talking about certain breaks for NASCAR tracks or horse race owners. But then there are other provisions, like expensing for small business or the deduction for state and local sales taxes, that could affect hundreds of thousands, even millions of people. And if those go away, we're going to see a very large increase in tax bills. There are many folks who are saying, unfortunately, that the extenders bill that would pass Congress would cost the U.S. Treasury a lot of money. Well, the Treasury has never had this money in the first place. These are tax relief provisions that have expired. What we're talking about here is that the Treasury will gain a windfall if the extenders are not passed. And that should worry a lot of folks who are thinking that government's burden on the economy is already too large. That would make it larger if there's no action on the extenders.
So looking big picture, Pete, whether there's a larger, longer-term deal done in the next few days or sometime early in the new year, ultimately, are we essentially looking at much of what fiscal 2015 looked at, or are we seeing some significant differences?
I think we are seeing a few hopeful signs. In the extenders package, for example, several of the small business expensing provisions would be made permanent under the plan just released by the House. That points to a hopeful direction for tax reform. After all, having a write-off of business expenses, a very simple upfront one that allows businesses to make investments and create more jobs, have a lower tax burden, that could be an element of a tax reform package in the future. So we're kind of making a little bit of progress here if the House and Senate decide to act in that direction on extenders. Maybe we're laying the groundwork for something that's a little more sweeping, actually cutting tax rates, broadening the tax base. Paul Ryan, as Speaker of the House, has said he wants to make tax reform a major priority in 2016. People say you can't do that in an election year, but then again, the last major tax reform effort occurred in 1986. That was also an election year.
Midterm election year. So let's talk about that. Do you get the sense that Ryan's ready to plow forward on that and that he's got enough people to make at least a major headway on the issue, or is it ultimately going to come down to the parties embracing the tax plan of whoever the nominee is?
I think Speaker Ryan has both the temperament and the experience as chairman, former chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, to make some genuine progress on a plan in Congress. After all, there are varying levels of detail among the presidential candidates and their tax plans. Some of them are already informed by pieces of legislation moving through Congress, so there you already have a possible synergy. Others are less well informed by legislation and would stake out a lot of new territory. So what you're going to have to achieve here is a balance between some of the ideas that are being proposed on the campaign trail and some of the ideas that are already moving through Congress. If you can achieve that balance and not do it in such an adversarial manner, you just might come out on the other end with a package that can be enacted into law.
Well, patience is certainly a premium, not only when it comes to annual spending bills, but the larger ticket items like tax reform, as we've been saying. Pete, always good to know that you're on top of it. Thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Pete Sepp is president of the National Taxpayers Union. For more information, go to ntu.org. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.